We have disciples who are found in our reading today, hidden in a room, out of fear, it says, and maybe a lot of other things going on as well. They're fearful on the one side, probably because they are fearful that that guilt by association will hunt them down. They were with Christ, so therefore maybe they should be hunted down as well and put away all of the followers of Jesus. So they're hidden away maybe for that reason. And maybe by some odd coincidence, the fact that they heard the words of Mary that there was an empty tomb and that she did talk to Jesus, maybe there's even a fear closing the doors they can keep out the risen Lord who might ask a critical question, where were you on Good Friday? I think there's a whole host of things going on here. Many of them are with their heads down, not even wanting to talk maybe to one another, much less see the world outside and having to face the fact that this world outside has changed completely because they know that the Jesus they had followed for so long had been crucified. There were words of resurrection, or at least words of empty tomb, but they were just words. They haven't seen anything positive that would point them in that direction. So their reasons for being in the upper room or being in some kind of room together is varied and multiple. But what Jesus does, I think, sets the tone of what we do on Sunday morning. For in the closed room with all doors and windows locked, Jesus appears in their midst. I had always been there. The risen Lord had always been with them. And we know from this time forth, at least, it is the eternal promise of Jesus to be with those whom he loves. It's the words that we hear in the text associated with baptism. Text that I've quoted a number of times. And lo, I am with you always, even to the ends of the earth. That the church recognizes from the waters of baptism. And in this particular moment, as Jesus appears to his disciples, they are never going to be alone again. But as they were gathered this day in a group, as a community, Jesus does something peculiarly different. We always know that Jesus is with us. It's the promise of our baptism. But on Sunday, when we gather together, something different is done. Different than what happens through the rest of the week. And this is what happens to the disciples. For as Jesus appears to them, the first word out of his mouth is shalom. Remember that word. Songs have been written with the word shalom. We even devised in a former parish an entire program around shalom chaverim, shalom chaverim. We sang it so many times. Oh my gosh. By the time it was over, we had had enough of that song. Shalom. The first words, peace be with you. The Lord's peace be with you. Great words to start off with. Words that we hear often when we gather together here in different ways. And then he shows them the marks of his hands as he breathes on them the Holy Spirit. Two significant events that we see carried out in worship even today. Jesus plants a seed that in the midst of all of their issues and concerns that they had to distract them from even thinking about Jesus, they were so centered in their own lives and their own failures. In Jesus' actions, it pulls them back again to focus on what was the most significant thing in their lives right then and there and would be forever. All of their focus at this time was on the actions and words of Jesus. Change their lives, transforming. And every gathering from that time on in God's church, it is exactly the same. You all come with a host of visions and possibilities, already thinking about them maybe on a Saturday night, wondering what Sunday morning could be like. At least I pray some of you are thinking about Sunday morning on Saturday night. When you wake up in the morning, you're thinking about how you get here, what could take place. Your expectations are varied. Your opportunities you might see as being numerous. And why you come here, if I were to ask each of you, it would be a multiple reason answer, a different one from each of you. Why we come here and what we expect when we arrive is very, very different one to another. But allow me to propose what occurred 2,000 years ago in a room of locked doors and windows would be significant for us as well. Maybe, just maybe, the focus that we need as we come into worship needs to be that which the disciples earned when Jesus appeared to them. He didn't have to invite them to come. They didn't have to do any incantations, any special prayers, any getting down and calling upon the presence of Jesus. Wherever God's people gather, that's where Jesus wants to be. And because Jesus wants to be here and do unique things with us and say important things to us, then maybe our focus needs to be, from the very moment we think about Sunday morning worship, needs to be, what does God want to say to me? What does God want to say to us? What are the actions of Jesus now on this Sunday morning that are important for me? We focus on a lot of things. We come and see many things, but maybe, just maybe, our focus needs to be similar to what it was in this event and ask the critical questions. As we come through those doors, as we sit down each Sunday morning, what is God going to say to me today? What is God going to do in my presence today that could be life-changing? And it could be a host of things. We recognize already God's presence in the breaking of the bread, in the sharing of the wine. We see it in the word proclaimed, in the readings, in the voice and the actions and the words of a man dressed in white standing before you preaching sermons. We hear it at times in the soft words of a children's sermon. Do we see it in other places? Is it possible to see it in the way furniture is arranged, in the way songs are sung, in the way the liturgy is organized and developed one Sunday to another? Can we see it in the actions of the one during the passing of the peace who actually says to us, "Peace be with you," or "the peace of the Lord"? Can we hear it in the voice of a child that cries longing for the hug of a parent? Can we see it and hear it in the simple conversations that each of us has as we exit every Sunday morning and carry on to reflect what God has said and done here this day? Can we come with the expectation of what we witnessed so long ago? Of Jesus standing in the midst, doing special things this day, revealing who he is and what he is about, and saying and doing for us what God wants us to hear and learn so our lives can be changed and transformed. I know that like Thomas, some of us are gone. The numbers that are here today compared to last Sunday are not the same. Some of us aren't here. Some of us are gone throughout the year for any number of reasons. Thomas had his, and the result was to have a Jesus, when he finally sees him, we don't see the risen Lord in all his softness with a glow behind his face, but whether we hear a Jesus who says, "Thomas, get your tail over here and stick your finger in this hand, and then take that hand of yours and stick it in my side and believe, don't doubt." Those are command words. Those are harsh words to one who was to be a child, a disciple. He doesn't have a lot of patience for those who go and do not come as often as they need to, yet, in spite of it all, he responds to the needs and pulls him back into the community of faith to remind them of his position and his role. And by calling him back in, he is the first of the disciples to say what all were thinking, "My Lord and my God." We miss Sundays. Sometimes we're gone for whatever reason. For those of us who are here every Sunday, oh, we long to see you always. But sometimes you're gone. And when you come back, things are not the same as they were when you left. Because the progress of God's mission and ministry goes on. I dare say that if it had been you and I standing in the midst of the 11 disciples when Jesus appeared, would have been the first one to say, wait a minute, Thomas isn't here. We can't do this without Thomas. But the word and the actions and the ministry of God through Christ Jesus march on with or without us. And when we come back after being gone, things might be different. Let us not respond in the same way as Thomas did, getting angry and upset because the furniture has changed and because the hymn is different than it was before and there's no confession of sin during Easter. But let us come with the expectation that Christ developed and so clearly pulled out of his disciples that day. Let us long, in the midst of the changes that we might see, in the midst of the transformations and the differences because of our absence that might be there, let us long to hear and to ask the question, what does God want to say to us and to me today? What is God going to do today in the midst of everything that is there to say to me what he expects of me and what he has done for me in my life? That is the critical question we ask when we come every Sunday and watch, if we ask such a question, how God through Jesus does just incredible things every Sunday. Let's just be open, ask the question, and watch how his hands are revealed in the bread and wine of communion. How his side, pierced by the sword, is so clearly portrayed in the readings that we hear. Let us watch as the Spirit is breathed upon us through the gift of prayer and the actions of renewal of baptisms and scripture lessons that are read. Let us watch as the peace of Christ comes upon us and changes our lives, makes us new as the body of Christ, only to come back again asking the question, what is God saying to me today? Amen.